Hey, it's Mae Brusk. Take these off your phones. KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, and I will take a half hour of calls from you if you have any questions that you want to talk about. There's a lot in the news. Otherwise, I will go run down some stories for you that might be of interest to you. I was going to bring in a record again to play some more, maybe next week, the Kennedy-Nixon debates for half hour. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. See you. Okay, I bring in a record. A lot of you liked that record that I had before and liked it. What's to like about hearing the funeral of John Kennedy? But it was interesting to hear that day and what happened, how it transpired. Maybe the month of November I'll do that for you. But if you have some phone calls, I'll take them. I've been very unsociable in terms of calls at the house because I was trying to do some writing. I think I mentioned before last week you give a little and you have to give up a lot when you do writing. I don't know. I sort of like the business of just being my own boss and answering my own phone and, you know, spending the time of day the way I want it. It's nice to get stuff out when it's done and see it printed. And when it's printed, I'll let you know what it is and where it is. Oh, here's a telephone call, and we'll take one right now. Hello?
Hi, Mae.
Hi.
I'm calling from Carmel.
From Carmel, okay.
And I have millions of questions.
Let's take some.
Okay. First of all, this article that you were just writing, who is it for, and can we read it somewhere?
Well, I'll tell you what, right, as of now, I'm going to have my own magazine.
You are?
Yes. Larry Flynt is now going to have 76 publications. He has 5 already, and he's giving me my own publication.
Who's doing this?
Larry Flynt, publisher of Hustler.
Okay.
The next president of the United States.
Uh-huh. If he doesn't get arrested before he has
he doesn't get arrested, we don't both get shot. It's called Rebel, and it's about the first issue is entirely on the John Kennedy assassination, 50 pages that I
did.
And it's called The Nazis and the John Kennedy Assassination.
Okay.
And all material is new. Nothing in it has ever been. I took stuff from the Torbett document and from the Kennedy conspiracy and certain books, but it's put together in a way that none of it ever has been published or linked to John Kennedy, really. Well, Paris Fillon did in the Kennedy conspiracy.
Okay, how can we...
Well, I'll tell you when it's on the stand. He got out the L.A. Free Press in 1978. It'll be the whole issue. And then I thought we would have a magazine once a month. He was going to give me a magazine called Rebel. He's already got the press reserved and the time reserved, and then he started advertising it around the country for a weekly magazine. I don't know how I can do a weekly. Maybe I can. He's putting a telex in the house, and if I get a simulcast, then what I do? I do all the work here anyway for World Watchers, so if we put everything, if I went over and put everything I give tonight from 8 to 9 in a magazine once a week, it would be great. Photograph the articles and analyze what's in the news and select an hour's worth would fill the whole magazine.
So is that going to be available here?
Plus other guests, yeah. I don't know what his advertising plan is.
Well, you would keep us posted then, won't you?
Oh, absolutely. It won't be just on Kennedy. What it's going to be is... it'll include things on mind control and terrorism and the Olympics and banking scandals, the kind of things I do on World Watcher every week. It'll be a cross-section, and people will contribute. Anybody who has something to offer, I have the sole last word on who contributes, and it has to be people that have really done a lot of work in the past years but have not been able to publish. Yeah, I'll be the editor and also the more than the editor. I do get the... According to what Larry said, the last word, I don't want people that have covered up all these years and then all of a sudden there's a thing and they want to submit a manuscript. The people that have done the research first, for all these years have been ignored by the Mark Lanes of the world, have done a lot of work, get the first crack at it.
Okay.
There's a lot of good people who've done work on different areas, Oswald with Priscilla Johnson, the Soviet Union, the newspaper woman who then latches on to Marina, and Lee Harvey Oswald out here at the Defense Language School. There's a whole lot of articles and people I know that are getting in their minds what they want to get into it, and some people have ideas for illustrations and so forth. And so anybody's opposed fascism or tyranny is the criteria.
Good.
That's the main criteria.
Good.
And nobody who's covered up or has refused to look at new information. It may be that they're not familiar with it, but a lot of the old people have refused to look at it.
And then all of a sudden, they find out you got something and they want to get out there again. And they'll get a chance when everyone else has their information out.
Good.
And so I don't know if it'll be weekly or monthly yet. I have to wait and hear. He's advertising it as weekly.
Well, it sounds real exciting.
It's a lot of work. I'm telling you. I don't know. It's a lot of work. But I do the work here anyway. As I say, if I just went home on Tuesday and got down there, they do the artwork and the layout down there. And if I just got out by Thursday, everything that I had here on Monday night, it's on the sheets, and then was working all through the week with the other stuff, it could be done. If I want to sit and be a one-man Henry Luce from Carmel. So we'll see how it goes. And the other, well, I guess I can say it. It's not, I won't put it on the other tape. I did one article on Larry McDonald in the 07 for Hustler. And Larry liked it so well, he asked if he could put his name on the article. So that's really my story.
That's going to be in Hustler.
Don't tell anybody. This is just for the locals here, okay?
That's going to be in Hustler?
Yeah, in about a month and a half. The next issue, the December, is out, and it'll be probably in a month. I wouldn't put it on the tape that goes out around the country, but all you local people, I assume, are my friends. I mean, it doesn't matter. I did it, and he thought it was so good, he wanted to put his name on it. I said, I don't care whose name is on it.
Yeah. Another question?
Yep.
World Vision. Is it legit?
No, it's a front. In fact, Adolf Hitler used the words World Vision. It is the use of the Christian front to either, if people are starving, they'll either turn to Christianity or they can keep dying.
Well, I've seen Carol Lawrence pitching for it, and she's even been on location and showed starving children.
Oh, yeah, she makes these big bloated bellies. Do you know that all of Salinas Valley is a tremendous, well, you know, it's a supplier for the salad. It's called Salad Bowl of the World. I think 80% of the lettuce is grown in Salinas Valley. And do you know that iceberg lettuce has no nutrient of any kind?
Yes.
You could tear it up and put bean sprouts and feed the whole world just in Salinas Valley.
Uh-huh.
Or the farms, the 100 million acres or whatever it is that Reagan blocks off. I had the statistics last week that a million acres that they were paid not to grow anything on. I mean, why doesn't Carol Lawrence ask the President of the United States why we can't grow food to feed them? Or, you know what it would cost, bean sprouts or soybeans? Hardly anything. So what the point is, like, they go down these places, and the people are starving. I've seen the movies, and their bellies are bloated, and they're all bones. I mean, it's just really sad. And an airplane comes in, and they say, we'll bring you grain, and they throw them grain like you do to a bird in a cage, and if they turn Christian and send their kids to Christian schools, then they get more grain. If not, it proves that God punished them.
Huh.
See, if they go to Christian schools, then God rewards them because by being Christian, they get food.
What's the latest on your efforts to determine the true identity of our Pentagon's Fritz Kramer?
I've been working on it continuously. In fact, tonight at World Watchers, I'm going to read practically all the part of the congressional record of September 15th. Somebody mailed it to me of a Representative Gonzalez taking apart Henry Kissinger.
Right.
And really calling him the hired gun from all over the world, that he's a State Department unto his own. He runs it and is the hired gun. And if Gonzalez is serious, he's pleading with Congress to investigate Kissinger's private businesses while he's running around on this job for Ronald Reagan. And he's saying, you know, let's get to the bottom of it. So I'll just send him again tonight's tape and say, if you want to know who Henry Kissinger is, why doesn't Congress investigate Fritz Kramer?
Have you had any responses to your tape?
No. I've written I have the address of old Fritz in Washington, and the last time I wrote to him. I keep collecting books on the Battle of the Bulge and information, and people keep getting me stuff, but I just sent a picture of Prisoner 33, and I sent a picture of him getting an award, and I said, is this you? And you'd think he'd say, oh, you know, I really can see the misunderstanding because we have the same name, but thank goodness it isn't me, you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm not Hitler's chief of staff. I appreciate that you're concerned because it is a big coincidence that I'm running the whole place with Daniel Kramer.
Why don't you think he changed his name?
Because people ask me that, because Joseph Mengele didn't change his name, and Martin Bormann didn't change his name, and Klaus Barbie only changed to Altman until he was down in Bolivia.
I guess it's because of their arrogance.
Yes, that's right, because Walter Ralph, the top one down in Chile, didn't change his name. He's still alive. And Hans Rudell, who just died last year, who set up the Luftwaffe and worked with Fairchild and American companies, didn't change his name. And Joseph Mengele of Auschwitz just sat, his family is well known in New Jersey and farm equipment stuff. He just sat around at beer halls after the war, and nobody even wanted him. Martin Bormann is down there, mainly doing experiments on Indians in Paraguay. Martin Bormann running the bank. See, if they change their name, it would be able to find them. The old Nazis use the same names, and nobody cares because, you know, it's like me. People say, how come you have a listed telephone number, I say, in the phone book? And I said, well, because my friends couldn't find me, and the enemy's nowhere. And it's the reverse for the Nazis. Their friends know where to find them, and the enemies don't know where. So it's not really funny, is it?
Well, I have lots more questions.
Okay, let's take about two more.
Let me have two more?
Two more. You can have two more, and then call next week, because that's good. Okay.
All right. Do you know anything about the World Federalist Association?
No, I don't have. I might have it in my alphabet soup of think tanks. Tell us real quick what it is.
I have a slight idea what it is. Occasionally, you know, you'll get stuff in the mail.
The next time you get it, send it to me. Maybe I know the name.
I'll have to check it out and see if I've saved it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I know about clergy and laity concerned.
Uh-huh. I've heard. I think those are the ones that are really concerned, aren't they? Those are the ones that are.
I'm not sure. It says here in my notes that. One of the persons that is on the National Advisory Committee for this is Reverend Robert F. Drynan.
Oh, well, forget it.
Who's president of Americans for Democratic Action.
Democratic Action, yeah. Tell you what, he works with High Frontier Daniel Graham, who's the partner of Fritz Kramer. Drynan. I'll tell you what to do. Anytime you get, I call them the alphabet correspondents. And I'm starting to put them into a filing tank, you know, a filing thing, the think tank.
Right.
Because they all interlock and they form like 200 or 300 dummy fronts. I don't have space for all of them, but they're really interesting. So any of those, just put them in my mail and let me see what they are. Don't throw them away.
It makes you wonder, you know, whether they're legit or they're... They're always getting you, wanting you to contribute to...
Yeah.
Their organizations.
Well, there's enough of them. Everyone will cough up a little bit, a little there, and then matching funds from the CIA is like probably $22
million. Uh-huh.
You know, drawing in. I mean, if Casey is escalating counterintelligence, they can take over these organizations and use them.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh, if you have some calls now, it is the phone number here is 375-3082, and if you have to count for a little extra money this year that you're going to pay income tax, you know you can send it to Kazoo, the student rally. I'll give you the rates and ask you for some money for the station. Hello?
Hello, May.
Yes.
How are you this evening?
Okay, fine.
Great. I called a couple of weeks ago, and I had some questions about some people, some relatives of mine.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping you called back. Was the one Dewey?
Right.
Tell me about those people. After you called, I came across a bunch of stuff on this Dewey.
Oh,
tell us about him.
Well, I don't really know that much. My family has never really told me that much.
Well, how are you related?
Well, I'm pretty closely related to George Dewey, the Admiral.
Okay.
My father's name is George.
Uh-huh.
And Thomas E., I'm not sure how closely related I am to him.
Uh-huh.
But another person that I was questioning, that I was wondering about, is Charles Carroll.
Uh-huh.
Who signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, he was the richest person at the time of the signing of the Declaration
in
the colonies.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering where he got his money from.
Well, he probably came over from the King and Queen of England to take over the Americas. You know, that. Where would he get it from?
Well, I don't really know.
Well, there was no Meyer Lansky in those days that we brought. I'm sure that the British sent a bunch of people over here, like, if you're going to be independent, we'll help you be independent.
Right.
Because we've been so close to them in everything we've done.
Right.
We may as well be one country, just has two names. Tell me about Dewey.
Well, I don't really know that much about it. That's why I'm calling you to find
out. Because last week after you called, I got some stuff from, I think it was Kevin Coogan back in New York. He does the work on the Sovereign Military Order of Malta and different organizations. And somebody sent me some material on Dewey and the fascism of this guy. What years was George Dewey in the Navy?
Boy, that's a good question. But he fought in the Spanish-American War.
Uh-huh. And these guys go way back. You don't have any current relatives of theirs, clones or anything.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, well, the others do. The Germans always do. I thought maybe they had some clones. No, I heard the name in terms of fascism. Maybe it's a modern Dewey. I'll have to look it up and call back. I thought maybe you'd have a lot to fill in, and it would fit into what these people had mailed me, but evidently not, so I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
And when I see the name Dewey, I put it in, again, with that tight writing schedule and stuff, I put stuff in boxes, and so in between, if I don't have a two-day deadline, I'll start going through that stuff and see what we got there.
Great. Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested to hear.
Okay, so you don't have too much, huh?
No.
Okay, well, we'll keep looking into it.
Great. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot.
You know, I don't have time during that one-minute break to talk about all these different things that are going on. There's a fundraising in Santa Cruz. I will take another call and get on to the money in a minute. Hello?
Hi, mate.
Yep.
Do you care to speculate what's going to happen tomorrow with Larry?
I don't speculate.
Okay.
No, it's
sure it's like a Mexican standoff. I hope, the helicopters and all the...
What, do they have helicopters there?
Well, they're going to try to arrest him, and he claimed tonight that he wasn't going to be arrested. He was going to shoot him between the eyes.
I better go down and protect my new
boss.
You
better do something. You better call him or talk to this guy. I don't know if he's gone haywire or not, but on KGO they interviewed him, and he's going to shoot him between the eyes if they come after
him. He's not going to shoot between the eyes.
Well, that's what he said.
Poor guy. He really got himself in a mess. I'll discuss it more on World Watchers because it's a good question, but I may as well put on that tape because there are people around the country that want the same answer.
Well, yeah, they gave him... 24 hours to change.
Why don't they go after Jack Anderson? He published this stuff today.
He just talked about it. He didn't put anything. He didn't go into any detail.
No, but he says my aide saw the tapes.
But he didn't. He's just talking about the tapes. He's not, apparently not revealing the contents.
Poor Larry.
I was really worried about him today. I mean, the way he sounded on the radio. He said he's not going to be taken, he's not going to be arrested, he's not going to go with them, he's willing to show the tapes. No, as a matter of fact, he said he didn't have the tape. Anyway, tomorrow they're going to march up to his house.
Pardon me, I'm on the air.
Yeah, I'm sorry to provoke that, but that really looks bad. I mean, unless he has a change of heart.
No, we can't do that. I'll talk to him tonight.
Yeah, please do. Okay, I'll let you go.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, I forget. I'm not talking on the telephone here. I better watch my words. It's kind of, I can't believe there'll be a shootout, but I don't know. I can't account for anybody's actions except my own, and we'll talk more about Larry Flynt on World Watchers. I only know I'm only responsible for myself. I can advise people. He called and asked for advice on certain things about the DeLorean tapes, and I gave him the advice, and he went exactly the other end and did what he wanted anyway, and he's a grown man, and as I said, I'm not even responsible for what my kids do. I tell them certain things, and then they go their own way if they want. I can't advise him in a way that he listens. He's impulsive, and he did something, and I hope it works out okay. I can't imagine, of course, in America, we do shoot people down, just like that fellow in front of the Washington Monument and so forth. Well, let's hope, okay? Let's see what's going on. I started to say there's a concert up in Santa Cruz, and it's a fundraiser for this station, and the tickets are $5. If you have more, you can spend it. It's called Ancient Future, November the 5th at 8 o'clock up in Santa Cruz. Did many of you get up there to hear those concerts? I hope you do. I heard one of their records on Kazoo the other day, this Ancient Future, and it's a combination of different instruments from different time periods. And it really sounded nice. If I had time, I always say if. It's up at Moraga Concert Hall next Saturday, $5. You can buy the tickets in advance, Cymbeline Records or Recycled Records in Monterey. So it would be appreciated if you'd help support the station. I may show up there. My boss isn't killed, or even if I don't know. I call him the new boss because he wants to put money into the research and a publication, but we'll see what happens. And also I'll mention this now, and we can do it later. The subscription rates here are phone number is 375-3082, $15 for student and senior, $25 for basic backer. There's a letter in the box when I came here that the Kazoo needs by December the 15th the sum of $500, which isn't much, to raise for their programming. And the letter says to you Kazooers, it's very important that we raise this money to match their federal grant. They raised some last year, the $17,000 that was needed, and they need $500 by December the 15th to get their regular license to stay on the air. So if many of you would send $5 or $10 each person on the air, they're asking if they would put $10 in addition to putting their time in. But those of you that listen, and some people did send money to the station. There was a note in my box this week. Money went to the station. I thank you. It is really appreciated, and it's very nice that you send that in and show that you like the programming. I listen coming over here to the music, and it's always nice. I forget how bad the AM radio is. I didn't have an FM in the car. I have it at the house, but I finally put one in, and it is very relaxing and great to hear this kind of broadcasting. So if you can, send them some money, or as many of you send $5 a piece. They have to raise it to $500 in a short time by December the 5th, and that's a month away. I'm sure we can do it. If you have a question, you call and I'll answer. Otherwise, there's a couple of things I wanted to share with you. One is an article out of the London Sunday Times, and it's called Spying Out the Real Riley. And it's about a gentleman working in the British Museum in the archives trying to find the story of Sidney Riley, a famous spy. And the article says, 20 years ago, Michael Kettle disappeared into the archives of the War Office and Foreign Office with a single-minded intention. 20 years, that's like me working with a Kennedy story, okay? He wanted to write the murky history of British intervention in the Russian Revolution. Some of that is written up in The Great Conspiracy by Michael Sayers and Kahn. He had little idea how long it would take, and even less how he could finance his research. He recently emerged on the verge of bankruptcy with a manuscript of 3 million words, 30 times the length of the average novel. This is on Sidney Riley. One of the byproducts of this extraordinary endeavor is the unqualified knowledge of the master spy, Sidney Riley, whose exploits are currently being glamorized in a 12-part TV series. Kettle has dashed off a paperback to accompany the program that is going out. He's intrigued by Riley, though it is hard to imagine anyone less like the unscrupulous womanizer who disappeared into Russia in 1925. Do you know that when his network is uncovered, not one woman that was involved betrayed him, he said, out of all the women. They were brought out of their cells. They signed their own death warrants without breathing a word about Sidney Riley. Kettle is more like one of those improbable characters from John le Carré. He's mild-mannered, obsessive, infinitely patient. He's one of the world's great researchers. I should say one of the world's great researchers. 20 years and 3 million words. You have to be on one certain subject that many years. It says he knows the public records office. He's just 10 minutes' drive from his house in Kingston. He knows it better than anyone. During his long years working on this project in the public records office, he waged a curious war. Now, this is the interesting part. Against the security service weeders in the office in London, a grim body of bureaucrats whose job it is to remove sensitive material from documents before they are made public under the 30-year rule. It's like the Warren Commission hearings when Kennedy was killed and the Warren Commission locked up the material for 75 years. Then the House Select Committee locked up material for 50 years. Well, then the weeder comes in. Great Britain has a law about material being declassified in 30 years. So what you get is what is weeded out. And if you weed out, I'm sure you could plant evidence also. It says Kettle becomes animated when he talks about the discovery, and especially when he recounts the story about a lady in North London who was about to throw out some crucial documents when Kettle arrived in the nick of time. They were very important and proved that the British had mounted an extraordinary operation to buy up the Russian banks immediately after the revolution. Riley was involved in that, too. Interesting story. There will be this TV series, 12-part. He's going to get out a paperback. 3 million words, 20 years of work, but he encountered the weeders. That is really depressing to have the weeders, take out this material, because the true story after all that time is not even told then. There's another small article in the paper last week or so, Chappaquiddick Hazard, A resident says tourists create too much congestion when they look at Dykes Bridge, where Senator Edward Kennedy's accident killed Mary Jo Kopechne in 1969. They want the old bridge torn down. I think it would be nice to get rid of it and put the whole thing to bed. Seems to me there was enough bed going on, said Walter Wood, a director of the Chappaquiddick Island Association. All the people and all the bicycles and all the mopeds go to our house. We have all kinds of people coming through, and many of them go out to see the bridge. Maybe a lot of them are trying to check the tide of that particular evening and how far out it was and how the car would be sunk in very shallow water and so forth. They want to tear away the bridge where Mary Jo Kopechne was sunk in a car, and Senator Ted Kennedy went back and called various people in Washington, D.C., including Burke Marshall, the attorney, and nobody went looking for Mary Jo for quite a long time. She was dead, although she might have survived with an air bubble, and now they want to take the bridge down. John Judge in Philadelphia is doing a lot of work on the Jessica Savage case. He thinks she was murdered with a newspaper man from the Post. I heard one story that they had gotten hold of documents that Ronald Reagan had planned the invasion of Grenada for 2 years. So there are people investigating that, and we'll do more on the regular World Watchers program as the material comes in to me. There's a story just 2 weeks ago, the end of Colombia death squads urged. These death squads have been down in South America, in Brazil and Bolivia and Argentina and Peru and Colombia for a long time. It says 44 former guerrillas holed up in the Mexican embassy put signs on the windows demanding that the government wipe out the right-wing death squads in Colombia. They complained that they had not been able to find jobs. They'd been in little more than alms. Instead of their 110th, they were supposed to get $110 a month as amnesty when they abandoned certain causes. If they would stop the causes, they could have 110 a month. We are persecuted, besieged. Our comrades have disappeared. And according to one of the men, he told an Associated Press reporter that they want asylum in Mexico and they're tired of the death squads. The death squad said, if you stop being a liberal, we'll pay you, $125 a month? Can you imagine living on that anywhere? And then they weren't given the money either, and they went to Mexico. And so they're asking the end of these death squads that have been going on. They can't fight back, and their friends are dying there. And if they stop being radicals or guerrillas, they still die of starvation. So you may as well fight for your country or your life, and they're going to Mexico. They're pleading to Mexico for help. If you have a question, now you call 375. Oh, we don't have time unless it be right now, 375-3082. That's just about, we don't have more than a few minutes, 2 minutes if you have a call. One more story, the CIA switch. The spy agency, following setbacks in Congress, I didn't notice they had any, replaces its legislative staff affair with a longtime CIA professional, Claire George, formerly number two man in covert action. Wait, one quick call. Hello?
Hello, is this me?
Yes.
I think it was last week I saw Bedtime for Bonzo for the first time in my life. I can't believe.
Why? Well, huh? He was just doing lines or part. You mean the fact that he made that movie? What did you expect to see, Shakespeare? Well, yeah, but he's perfect for the part. He's just so perfect. He just, hail fellow, well met, silly. Everybody would trust him, right? I mean, just, perfect. Nothing profound about him. No. Now read Charles Higham's book on... where were you in California when he was governor for 8 years? Well, that was madness. Oh, no, he was groomed for this role. I think he was groomed when he left Illinois. Yeah, so, I mean, that's just a movie. That's not the real Reagan. Yeah. Yeah, well, the Westerns weren't so nice either. Never, and Westerns were just chasing a bunch of Indians around. What were they? Just hurting other people, to make a buck. He's a cold, cruel, cruel. Look, they don't even have their family around them. He's a cruel man. It's just on the button now, so I'm going to say goodbye. And call next week a little early, and we'll talk about it. Bye-bye. We can talk about Reagan for a long time, but I always felt he was a very, very cruel man. Okay, we'll start with the disclaimer, and then begin World Watchers.
The views expressed by Mae Brussel during World Watchers are those of the commentator and do not reflect the opinions of KAZU, its board of directors, or staff.